You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
So, hey, thank you for clicking play. This is the IT in the D show. We are at episode 220. Dave, I don't know what you did, but we have an ex-con in the studio. Actually,
we always do, but that's neither here nor there.
Gunnar Allen Lindblom's in the house. He's an author of the book To Be a King. We're going to be talking about the Detroit mafia scene. It's going to be an awesome conversation. And then the next segment, we have Morgan and Chris here for YomaCon. This is the
conference. Which is this weekend.
This weekend.
We always look forward to. Very, very cool stuff.
We've been covering them since the day we started our podcast, and look forward to that conversation. And this episode is brought to you by our friends at App River. Hey, have you seen the news about emails getting stolen? We just had Rick Lane on from Proofpoint. This is a huge deal. Are companies getting big fines for not complying with privacy laws? This doesn't have to happen to your business. Talk with our friends at App River about Cipher Post Pro, an advanced email encryption platform that keeps your email secure from sender to receiver. Keep control of your message with Cipher Post Pro from App River. Check it out at appriver.com/IT. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What
Christ.
Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of Living Dead. A lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the McGumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys! Ho!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed!
Sir, had you better buckle up?
Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome Welcome back. Thank you for listening. You have reached the one and only IT in the D show. This is episode 220. We are broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy. Dave, the geek, is sitting across from me playing with the clickety clicks. Nuri, the FNG, is in the house, as well as Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker. Find us online at itinthed.com and like us on all the social and subscribe to us everywhere. Find podcasts are sold.
Sorry, if you're waiting for me to do this read, I'm still trying to break
stuff. I totally
stuff.
Was.
All right, so hey, before we get rolling, though, support for today's show comes from Bluehost. Bluehost is a top-rated website provider that powers over 2 million websites. It has everything you need to build your website you've always wanted and gives you the freedom to design your website your way without being limited by templates. It's simple enough for beginners. As we always love to say, it is so easy a Bob can do it. And powerful enough even for the most advanced users. And with fully customizable templates and third-party app support, you get total flexibility and control. Plus, with a 99.9% uptime guarantee and automated updates, it's truly reliable and offers maximum security, including malware monitoring and protection with automatic secure WordPress installs. Not to mention, thanks to Bluehost 24/7 tech support, online resources, and expert services, you'll have all the help you need to succeed and save time. Bluehost is the best tool to build, host, and manage your website. No wonder it's been the top recommended WordPress host on WordPress.org since 2005. And now our listeners get to save 50%. That's 50, when you sign up at Bluehost.com/IT. That's Bluehost.com/IT. And as always, guys, thanks for the support. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Much appreciated. And hey, do us a favor. Mark your calendars. If you go to the Meet tab on our site, that's M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T.
Because still, no meat sticks, Bob.
Yeah, I know. They won't call me back. Or if you go to meetup.com/ITinTheD, you can get our calendar of all of our Ann Arbor events, where we're going for our socials. Now that our favorite place, Blackfin, is no longer.
I know.
We need to find a new Royal.
What happened?
Event. I don't know.
I saw the story, but I didn't see the follow-up on that. Whatever happened? Like, they were going to release a statement. Did they ever?
I don't know.
Huh. Jer was going to follow up with them on Daily Detroit.
But, if it was a meme, they would say the cost of rent is too damn high.
Seriously, like the rents in Royal Oak, I don't know that I blame them.
It's twice Main Street Rochester Hills.
Yeah.
At least twice. So, I mean, I think you have to be – pretty much it's getting to the point where you need to be a national chain or you
– But Detroit hates chains.
Royal Oak doesn't. Yeah. Exactly. So, Nuri, I know you travel about as much as I do, or you travel more than I do. Interestingly enough, this new hotel scam is going on. Like, the hackers are getting sophisticated.
I've heard about this for years, actually, and I'm actually surprised that it's finally making the mainstream media.
I've never heard of this. When you checked in your room and your phone rings, you're like, what the hell is this?
It's like a wake-up call or like
– No. Like right when you check in, I get these calls like probably 40% of the time going, hey, this is Jenny from downstairs. So I want to make sure everything's good.
Yeah, totally. It's like making sure your room's clean.
Yeah.
Things like that. There's no bed bugs.
Well, right. Now apparently they're figuring out what room you're checking into and then they're calling your room going, hey, there was an error with your credit card. Can you please read me back the numbers so we can go through again?
Just super easy. I mean, I could be sitting in the lobby listening to people check in.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, here's your room, number 220.
There's a Starbucks next to every check-in. Mm-hmm. You hear the number. They're not shy about it. And then you just say, hey, read me off your credit card. And now you go on a shopping spree at Best Buy.
Sounds like a mob racket to me.
Seriously, though.
You know what I'm saying? I know guys who would love that.
Get any ideas over there.
May or may not have.
I know some guys.
Hypothetically speaking.
Right.
Before I tweet this link, Bob, do you have a source other than bestiestuff.com for this article?
No, I mean,
which my corporate spam filter flagged it.
It's not getting written up on Wall Street Journal or anything. I mean, I could see it being legit. Come on, man.
But my corporate proxy flagged it, just FYI. So if you click this link at home, make sure you're not connected to VPN because it may flag for some reason.
Okay.
So bad news for anyone listening. If you're listening to us while you're running, apparently you should stop right now.
Which is like my favorite pastime. It's like catching up on the show, taking a jog, walking around the neighborhood, things like that.
I don't run.
Unless you're being chased.
There are rabid Dobermans behind me. No, I don't.
No, but I've heard that a few times from like people that I've met. Like going, hey, I listen to you guys when I'm at the gym or while I run. Yeah. Or, right.
It's a good way to distract yourself from like the shittiness of running on a treadmill, for instance.
Oh, my God. But apparently it can harm performance, which I don't like what you're too busy concentrating on the podcast to worry about what you're doing at the gym, which doesn't make any sense. If you're running, you're running. What's the difference?
Is this scientific or something? You read this somewhere?
Apparently, yeah.
So a bunch of scientists.
That's crazy. I run all the time. I'm walking with
University of Cambridge, and they took a bunch of rowers and they made them do some kind of mathematical tasks while they were rowing. And they said that their recall dropped by almost
10%. Who does math on a treadmill?
It was a test. It was a test.
But 28% drop in cognitive function. So your brain doesn't work as well, and your power was down like 12 or 13%.
Must have been the coxswain. Think I don't know about Rokum, an OG?
But what – are you not supposed to – like you don't burn as many calories when you're listening to – like I don't –
I don't know.
Like, I'm not doing math problems when I'm running, unless let alone listening to podcasts.
They were basically talking about is your brain doing this intentionally? Like, from back in the day when we were early men, early people running around, like, are we, like, less thinking about high-level things while we're doing exercise because we're being chased by a saber-tooth tiger?
What happens when you're driving? Well, no, what happens when you're, like, driving and listening to podcasts?
Bob, you're 22% worse as a driver when you're listening to podcasts. You already suck.
Says Cambridge.
I already have a pop in my crotch, and I'm looking
at what?
Pop in my crotch.
Did you spray that somehow? That or?
There's a couple of them. I have a soda in between my legs.
Better. It's called pop.
Right. It's pop.
Thanks, Figo ad.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
But no, I don't get it. Like, seriously, the whole thing doesn't mean – like, are you going to burn less calories? That's the – like, I don't get the performance thing.
I got nothing.
No. They got a grant for that at University of Cambridge.
Of course they did.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
But we can't really mock people getting grants anymore.
Well, grants that do stupid things. We're doing good things. We're doing good things.
That's right. For those of you paying attention at home, we did not talk about when we kicked off. We are going to be in Ann Arbor next Tuesday, I believe.
Yes.
Pretzel Bell this time?
Connor O'Neill's
this time. And then third Thursday, we are at Nancy's, I believe.
Yes, Nancy Whiskey.
Yep. So I'm sure. And then the Career Academy thing is out, homepage of the site, itandthed.com. Check it
the
out.
The Channel 7, I think it's November 6th.
Yes, that's next Monday.
We're going to be on Channel 7. That's WXYZ for those playing at home.
Yep.
And then all of our emails are going to belong to everyone else except for us.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that.
So we've talked about this one quite a bit, and I like that the story came across. Is your phone listening in? Like, we've talked about this forever, that we can be yakking about something and then all of a sudden, like, ads start popping for that.
So many times Bob has been sitting on his couch. He's told us this story over and over again.
Yeah.
And I guess finally something happened. The BBC put out a poll to their readers and said, hey, has this happened to you? And there's like a dozen stories in here about, like, I had never told anyone I was getting married to my wife. And all of a sudden
I started seeing engagement videos. Yeah.
Or so you popped the question like an hour after he did it and he told nobody.
I hear stories from non-techies, from techies. There was a time we were sitting in my buddy's garage drinking, smoking cigars, talking about – I forget what new car we were talking about ad nauseum. And my buddy liked it, wanted to buy it, and we were talking about it. And all of a sudden, here comes the ads on Facebook popping up. And also, we were like seeing a – dude, it's like seeing a ghost these days.
It's – you know, here's one of the stories. You know, here's the deal. I had never bought, searched for, or even thought about a new bed in several years. Couldn't remember seeing a mattress ad online ever. So we started talking about beds and mattresses and guessing keywords, slipping California King and buy a mattress online into the conversation while intermittently scrolling Facebook. Two mattress ads in 5 minutes, none before that conversation.
Unbelievable.
Oh, they're totally listening.
Oh yeah,
and so
I don't get any Jägermeister or Funyun ads though, so that I call bullshit.
That's good. They don't really advertise.
Oh, they should.
They don't need to.
A Facebook exec responded to this and said unequivocally, "We do not do this on Instagram."
There's
or
no
Facebook.
Way they would admit it.
Of course they would, because everyone would stop.
It'd be the
Facebook.
Death of you.
Like it'd be done tomorrow.
Go look at the permissions when you like. Everyone was crying about the Messenger. Permissions. Look at the Facebook permissions.
Yeah, iOS doesn't show you those things when you install it, unlike Android.
They own everything in your phone.
They ask your for mics are on. Microphone.
Once you start using those features, yeah. And then they've got you.
That's why I don't trust Hey Siri, Hey Google. That is off.
That was last week or
we
2 weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Because they record everything you ever say, and you can see it in your Google history, which is kind
of
crazy.
All of Nuri's bedroom conversations are
all of my girlfriend yelling, Hey Google, play Fat Bottom Girls.
Right.
Right, but that's where we were like, wait a minute, if OK Google was the trigger, how is OK Google on the recording?
Yeah.
Like, that means they're always recording.
Exactly.
Right. So, now, yeah. It's,
And I'm wondering when they're going to wonder why I asked Siri where to hide a dead body.
And the FBI's at your front door.
And you're still getting ads for bleach. It's kind of great.
Exactly. Anyway.
You should have called me, bro. Should have called me.
Go to the expert.
I know a guy.
So I got a feeling that we're going to see these stories every week, probably for the next year. Woman's ID stolen 15 times. After the Equifax breach.
It's Equifax now?
Equifax.
It's all about the syllabulum foxes.
I was thinking of breach, and then I was like, Equifax breach.
No, Equifax is the credit monitoring service for horses.
That's a good one, dude. You guys are good, man.
It's kind of crazy. So she said she just keeps getting things in the mail, like, thank you for your application, and over again. So 15 times, and gosh, it's only been, what, 2 months since that hack went down?
If that, yeah. Well, that they admitted to, yeah.
Well, so, and then the key to this whole thing is what we've been saying now for, what, a month and a half. She's like equivocally, I didn't sign up to use Equifax. And
that's right. I never wanted them to have my data. I never asked for them to have my data. And yet they have all my data.
Right. If I opt in, maybe it's kind of on me, right?
Well, but you are opting in by being involved in the economy at all.
Yeah, a human.
At all, ever.
And
right.
The only thing you can do is freeze your credit. So looking around the table here, how many guys have frozen
that
your credit?
You have to pay them to freeze your credit.
I don't think you have to pay
someone's
for the actual
freeze. Dropped the fee.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was, yeah, it was last week. There's a fee to lock your
$10.
Credit.
$10.
Yeah.
It's probably a hit on your credit, too.
No. To lock it, it's not.
I'm surprised.
It's a pain in the ass when you, like, if you forget that you have it locked and you go to, like, buy a car or something, you're like, hold on.
So that poor woman will probably take years to probably get that all clear.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Years.
So how many of y'all have done it? Have you rocked
no,
credits?
Haven't frozen.
No. Luckily, my credit's just shot, so nobody's going to get out. Yeah, same. So.
You guys want to hear a quick funny story? I've never had credit in my life. I've never paid taxes. Shh, I probably should have said that. But I've actually never had credit ever in my life. Never had a credit.
Dave can edit that out for a small fee.
See, I told you everybody has a little gangster in them. I tried to say it, and just like that, he can edit that out for a small fee. Boom, gangster.
Randy's got a little gangster.
So my favorite story of the week, and Nuri, thank you for this.
Randy doesn't have a little gangster in him, but he is willing to learn.
basically, a Microsoft employee was doing an Azure Prezo.
Loved this.
And in the middle of a live demo, and he had to basically back out, cancel it, and install Chrome because Edge kept screwing up, crashing. And I don't know. Does it say how many people were on this? Was it on their webinar?
It doesn't. But Microsoft has since uploaded that webinar, including the Chrome gaffe, onto YouTube. So you can actually go find that. And it's funny. They were talking about it. He sits there and he hesitates. And then he installs Chrome. Everybody in the room laughs. And the thing pops up and it says, do you want to send data to help make Google better? And he's like, this isn't going to help or something. So he tells jokes about it. And he handles it gracefully, but still that's not
the
best.
This is kind of sad because Edge isn't a terrible browser.
Yes, it is.
I use it on my Windows PC that I don't use that often, admittedly. But I like it over Chrome.
Didn't Gates have a blue screen of death? Like this isn't new.
The first time, no.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, any demo – bad things happen.
Remember
we all know
the South Park movie when Bill Gates was in there and it's like, I thought Windows 95 was supposed to be faster with better access to the internet.
Right.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
So we did get some – we don't get it often and I wish we would get it more, but we got a little bit of a hate mail today.
Well, we you.
Or me.
Royal we.
No, last week I had a little bit of a rant on Spider-Man Homecoming.
Well, and I was right there with you.
Yeah.
I disagreed with both of you for the record.
Yeah, and I was called an idiot for not knowing all the Spider-Man suits. And so Spider-Man to me is spandex suit, Tobey Maguire organic web shooters, right?
Ew.
Yeah, I know.
I at least shoot organic web.
I didn't know.
It's Spider-Man.
I know, totally.
Free range web.
Oh, no, now it's just bespoke.
Right.
Organic free range web shooters. But apparently, I didn't know any, I didn't know a thing about the Tony Stark, like, you know, expand, like the super suit. And I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, you had the Iron Spider. No, you were taken to task for not knowing any of it.
And then, you know what, though? I'm sticking by my whole you can't have Batman be the bad guy in Spider-Man. You just know. It just no. Cast someone else.
And Negan should not be Batman's dad.
No. And B, the comedian, and Maggie and B
should not be Batman's mom.
Right, because everyone looks at it and goes, oh my God, Negan and Maggie.
Yeah.
right. Like, I'm not alone in this. Like, Captain Kirk shouldn't be Wonder Woman's boyfriend.
No, and that was, and honestly, it's like, we, you know, there was a little discussion that went back and forth on our Facebook page today, and then he apparently deleted the comment, which nuked everything. But it was like, look, dude, fandom is fandom. And so fandom has to address and has to embrace both the hardcore fan and the casual fan. And by and large, the vast majority are the casual
and
fans.
No, cards on the table. I didn't read any Spider-Man. I've never read a Spider-Man comic in my life.
I have no reason to doubt you.
Right.
no, and so like, – but that's the thing. Like, so like to you, Tobey Maguire was –
No, Spider-Man. The 70s Spider-Man was a I'll take it at face value.
The Electric Company Spider-Man.
No. But that was – no, but that was like – I didn't get into the character. That wasn't one of my favorite characters, right?
Right.
So like to me it was whatever that was – what was presented to me on television or movies was Spider-Man to me. I didn't get into the books. Like even like the Star Wars books with you guys. I never read the Star Wars books. I took everything at face value.
They were pretty bad though.
No.
I don't worry, they're not even canon.
It depends who wrote them.
Right, they don't.
Oh, true.
It depends who wrote them.
Certain authors suck more than other authors. Right. Yeah.
Some are all really good and some
there's
are
There's Kevin,
bad.
I like Death Stars Anderson. We all love Kevin. But that's a thing.
You guys really are nerds, I'm just saying. No offense, I'm a nerd myself, just packaged differently. But I'm a writer, so obviously I'm a nerd. I mean, and then, so no offense.
No, it's like if you want to talk, you know, like Star Wars-ish and, you know, bad writing, just look at all of the Willow novels that George Lucas tried to make.
Oh, God. Yeah. Absolutely.
The Christmas special.
Come on. Yeah, oh, yeah, the Star Wars Christmas special, yeah.
Hey, let's make something that, you know, will make the Ewoks cartoon look better.
Yeah.
No, all those franchises have made multiple mistakes. Like the Hulk then got rebooted like 4 years
later.
Every
3 years, yeah.
Right. And like Spider-Man, it seems to be going through his iteration.
Fantastic Four.
Oh, my God. Right.
They could ruin a lot of stuff by doing that, in my opinion.
I'll stick with the Roger Corman Fantastic Four. Thank you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But again, I don't like the recasting. Like, you were Green Lantern.
There's only 12 actors and actresses in Hollywood that can do anything.
No, and it's like, I liked Ben Affleck as Batman. I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
But you were Daredevil, and you should be buried in your Daredevil, in the coffin, or the Daredevil costume.
Chris Chelios, you're a Chicago Blackhawk.
Right, exactly. When you go to the Hall of Fame, you're a Blackhawk.
Okay. That's funny.
Now, when it comes to, you know, Batfleck, all I can really say about that is when I saw that, my thought after seeing Batman vs. Superman was entirely, you know what? You sucked as, you know, Daredevil, but you're nailing it as the Punisher.
Nice.
Punisher, I can't wait for that to come out, by the way. Mm. Yeah, that's our weekend has been consumed by Stranger Things and thoughts of the Punisher.
Dude, so I'm done with Stranger Things.
Me too.
I decided to watch season 3 of The Strain instead of Stranger Things, and I'm kicking myself.
And this is why you fail.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, no. So if you haven't watched Stranger Things season 2 yet, you absolutely should. They did such a good job.
Answer me a question. Is it hitting home for me because in 83 I was 10 and listened to the same music and played the same video games and played Dungeons and Dragons?
Dude, they are killing it with the retro nostalgia. They absolutely are. But like that's ancillary. Like the storyline.
No, but that's how I got drawn into it.
See, all the product placement, like the, he opens a beer can and it's the old can of beer.
Yeah.
Right.
Like absolutely every prop in that show was like that era. So the props were amazing.
Except for the Millennium Falcon.
Are we having like an Lego thing with the Millennium Falcon? Like apparently Lego nerds were angry that like it had lime green Legos in it that weren't introduced until like 1990 something.
Wait, what's with the Millennium Falcon?
No, it's they actually it was actually brought up by a friend that the Millennium Falcon that they used over in season 1 was not even close to the original, like, you know, late 70s, early 80s mold. It was very specifically like the 90s or past.
Of the Force Millennium Falcon.
But it's like it was very clearly, so if you looked at it, the molds and everything were drastically different.
Right.
You can't go to a Comic-Con and pay $9,000 for an accurate one.
Right.
With your budget. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to be back. This should be a fun conversation with Gunnar Allen Lindblom. He's an author, owner of a clothing line. The book is To Be a King, and we're going to talk Detroit Mafia. This is the IT in the D Show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen.
Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is segment two, episode 220 of the one and only IT in the D show. We are broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek.
Whoop.
Nuri the FNG is in the house. Nuri, I do the Twitters walkers in studio. Find us online, IT in the D.
What's my name?
.com.
Randy, what's my name, bitch?
Randy, I do the Twitters walker.
It's like that.
Because we
absolutely
are IT in the D. And,
you. You still aren't. You're going to be, we got you.
You're going to be an angry little elf in about a week.
Yep.
Find us, do us a favor, like us on all the socials, and subscribe to us everywhere fine podcasts are sold. And, you know, we're all sitting in anticipation. We've had an absolute blast hanging with you back studio. We have Gunnar Allen Lindblom in the house, author of To Be a King, talking about the Detroit mafia scene, owner of the clothing line. Our thing. Gunnar Allen, welcome to the studios. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's nice to be here.
We were worried that you're going to not be able to fill up 25 minutes of time here on the segment, but I think you could have your own show for about 36 hours and still not.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'll take over the show. Are you kidding me? No, I'm just kidding. What I wanted to, first of all, I got to say, you guys are amazing because for guys who are like pre-show drinking at the level that you guys were, I'm like, man.
You have to understand. So this whole thing stems from our networking group where our tagline is Networking Detroit, one beer at a time. We're professionals.
I mean, in life, you occasionally come across people who can drink and just, like, be on their A game to the and that you guys are just, man, you guys don't miss a beat. And
we call it show fuel.
It's pretty impressive.
So in the early days of when we were at the Russell, we used to go to 3rd Street Bar and we would probably consume
five or six drinks.
Maybe two or three shots. Then we'd head to the studio.
Yeah, but come on. You guys are running a show. People drink get sloppy and bam, they don't miss a beat. What the hell is going on with that thing over there? Is that a Buddha with a CP3O head on it?
It's the C3P Om.
That's our deity.
That's funny.
We're geeks and nerds.
You should have rang the bell behind that. It's whoever's over there ringing bells.
So, the story goes you've been incarcerated for the last 13 years.
That's the story goes?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Allegedly.
Did you hear? Yeah, 13.3 years.
And then you've been out, 14 months?
14 months, yeah.
And you obviously survived to tell the tale, and you got back and just started writing? Is that?
No. I wrote them all in prison. Nine novels.
Okay.
I wrote nine novels in prison.
All right, so I'm super interested about this. So you've been out for 13 months. Like, what's the – do you have to, like, have protective detail? Are you, like, worried about rival
games? No. It wasn't even like that. No? Like, I was kind of just an associate. Kind of a low-level. I guess I was a somebody. I felt like I was a somebody. But I just ran around. I had an Uncle Pete that it was – who I worked for, and we were always scheming up some kind of money-making scheme. It was a unique life. Had a double life. Yeah. So,
because I'd be really worried that someone would try to whack me or off me or something like that. I mean,
why? I was last night. I was downtown at Ronnie's Meats. Saw a bunch of old friends and people and old timers and whatever. And I got hugged.
Good old times. Nice.
Yeah. No. Nobody can say I'm not doing nothing. I mean, I went to prison. I didn't rat on anybody. I wrote novels. Now my books are. I have two novels out, Volume 1 and 2, and they're both about a Detroit mafia family, Detroit organized crime family. But they're fiction. The novels are fiction, and so
the names have been changed to protect the innocent
or not so innocent. Yeah.
That question comes every time. So every interview I do. No.
See, Nuri wants to know if you're going to get in trouble. Me, I want to know what's the first thing you ate. I'm not talking about Mary Jane. I'm talking about,
So aside from the breakfast that my paisans took me to immediately upon my release, because I live 5 hours away, and my cousin and my best friend, one of my best friends, he drove me to my wife up where I live, and my wife had cooked the feast. And what it was a turkey and oxtails. Anyone had oxtails before?
Oh, yeah.
My kind of people. So, because people who haven't had oxtails before are not my kind of people. But these oxtails were amazing, and a whole turkey, and I had a pecan pie, cheesecake, and grilled asparagus, and a big salad. That was my first meal home. I mean,
not a bad meal.
Hell no, man. I laid down, and I hadn't slept for like a week. It was a rough week because I didn't know if they're actually going to let me out. Lots of times they were messing with me, and so I wasn't sure if they're actually going to open that gate. And then that day came, and they opened that gate, and I was just like, it was surreal, man.
So now you got into novel writing. You got two novels out. You're talking to me about your crew. Is part of like the whole White Boy Rick movie thing going on? What's talk to me? What's going on?
Oh, that my crew. Well, crew is, I guess,
your buddies, whatever you want to. You know.
Well, my crew now is a bunch of nerdy book writing, you know, people, and one of those nerdy book writing dudes are Scott Bernstein, who is he's a writer. You guys probably know him. He's from Detroit. He wrote Motor City Mafia, and he actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
he was related to the – because I read the Purple Gang books.
Yeah, sure.
So he was related to
– Yep. Okay. Yep. He actually wrote a book on Purple Gang too or done a bunch of work on it. He'd been on A&E and done documentaries. But he actually was an official script consultant for Sony Pictures for the White Boy Rick movie. Yeah. So – and me and him, we talk all the time. We talk at length on the phone often. He is the smartest guy. And as far as when it comes to organized crime and underworld crime in Detroit, for sure. Midwest, for sure. And one of in the world, probably. You know what I mean? The guy's smart as they come.
See, people don't think that even exists in town. Then all of a sudden you hear little things about the Russian mafia.
No, you hear, you know, it's always New York and Chicago.
Right.
And yeah.
Detroit only for Prohibition, but like, you know.
Well, that's a funny story. I can't talk a whole lot about how that operates.
Please don't.
I'd really rather not get subpoenaed.
But what I will say this is this the family or that element here is very quiet. They're not, you know, they're not like other.
It's not showy.
Exactly. And it's also not murdery. You know,
no.
not a word I just made up. But.
Here's what I've learned, because I do. I have family in Jersey. That's the best way that I've always come to describe my family in Jersey is that half of them are on the police force and the other half are not.
Right. They all work together.
It's different out here. It's a lot more quiet. It's a lot more subtle. It's, you know, people. If you know, you know.
Exactly.
And if you don't,
it's just supposed to make money and not be in the newspaper.
Right.
You know, you're not John Gotti, you know what I mean? Who's
You're not trying to be the Teflon. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the guys like them, you know, all they do is attract attention from the FBI, and then they go.
And that was the beginning of the end.
Exactly. For them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But here it's, I guess, more about money. You know, there's a lot of sports betting and things like that where a lot of money can be made that way. And, you know, for me, I mean, little things, you know, rent or poker games and dice games and a million little scams and hustles. And, I mean, actually, if you go to Gunner Detroit, shameless plug here.
It's fine.
Gunner Detroit, my website, you can go. People who aren't familiar with the Limbloom Chronicles are short stories from my previous life. Actually, I talk about some of those strange scams and cons and hustles and rackets that I was involved in. And people love them. I mean, they get tens of thousands of reads around the world. Hundreds of thousands.
Well, I mean, everybody. I mean, how popular was The Sopranos? I mean, everybody wants to know.
Everybody digs them, man.
I'm going to throw you under the bus right now.
Please do.
This is a grown-ass man who made it to the age of 41.
Never
saw The Godfather.
Oh, there's a lot of those. Weirdos. A lot of weirdos.
No! I told you.
You're a weirdo.
Definitely not.
I cut you off right there, bro. Hey, I ran into people like that here and there in my lifetime, and I'm like, dude, and I get it.
What Italian families watch The Sound of Music? I grew up in a German house. What do you want from me?
I watch The Sound of Music. Still, though. Classic movies are classic movies. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they're timeless. The Godfather has made billions of dollars for, and by the way, my book is being compared to the next Godfather. Look at the reviews on Amazon and the people who have read the book. They are saying,
"Well, I mean, let's be honest. There's a shirt with three wolves on it that has amazing reviews on Amazon."
No. But the thing is, that's different. What I'm saying is, when you have to buy my book and then leave what do they say?
Oh, it's a verified purchase.
Verified purchase. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And you have to go back after you read it as a verified person back in your account and then leave a review. And like, right. And everybody's like, your book is the next Godfather. Your books are. They. You have written them. We've waited 30, 40 years for this book. You're the next Mario Puzo. You've done it. And I actually, you know, believed in my heart. I knew that's what I had. But it's a beautiful thing to have it confirmed by not just people in prison or not just friends and family, to have hundreds and hundreds of people saying, hey.
Oh, yeah, yeah, your book's awesome. Can I have a cigarette?
Yeah, yeah. No, no. But, you know, it wasn't like that. Because let me tell you something about prison. If there's one thing guys are in prison, they're avid readers. They have nothing but time. They've read hundreds and thousands of books in their lifetimes. And I've had guys who have read literally 10,000 books in their life. Read my books, come back to me and go, dude, I've read 10,000 books over the last 20 years. Your book is the best book I've ever read. And I've had dozens.
Nine out of 10 prisoners agree that
my book,
To Be a King, is the greatest novel.
Right, right. But they read the manuscript, you know, there's a raw manuscript. And so I actually had a guy steal the manuscript and go to the hole right before I came home. Like, he thought it was going to have some value to, you know, when he gets to the streets.
Nice.
So he actually, what's called locked up, where they actually go to the hole voluntarily,
yeah,
took my manuscript and locked up, went to the hole. Because he, you know, he knows that down the road it's going to have a lot of value.
So interesting.
That's going to be his score, I guess. Whatever.
So, do you want to give anything away? Like, how's it like this, in terms of the story, or do you want to leave it for the reader? Or?
Well, the story is about a young character named Omnio King Falcone. So, Omnio is an old Latin term from Sicily that actually is kind of like a king, a local king. And so that's where you get King to be a king. And he is basically half Sicilian. So he kind of gets ostracized by most of his family. However, he is the last Falcone. His grandfather is the boss of bosses, temporarily, because he's getting old. The feds are onto him. He must step down. So the person who takes over the family, which is his uncle, his son is basically the main character's like arch nemesis, okay, because he's a little punk, right?
Okay.
And he's jealous, basically, of King. But they both end up kind of having this thing for a girl. And then into the girl, there's a huge rift between the family because
isn't that always the problem?
It's always a problem. So there's this beautiful girl, a Sicilian mafia princess, comes from Sicily to go to school at University of Michigan because she's going to be a neurosurgeon or suddenly be a doctor. And but her father is a big mafioso from Sicily. And when she comes to Detroit, she's put under the aegisi or under the protection of the local mafia Don, which is the main character's grandfather. And when the two cousins meet her, they're both smitten by her. However, the little punk who's, father's now the new boss of bosses, he lays claim to her. But Omnio King Falcone is not the kind of guy who lays down to anybody. And so we have a problem. So, and there's a lot more to it, but I'm not going to ruin the story. But that's the premise of the story. He is a mastermind, but he everybody is against him, but he outmaneuvers everyone. He's a chess player. He's a mafioso chess player. And he outmaneuvers everybody 2, 3, 5, 10 moves ahead of everybody. And so there's a lot of Machiavellian deception, who can trust who. But he operates under a set of rules of honor, love, loyalty, and trust, where that's supposed to be how it is.
You didn't get that from John Cena, did you?
I don't know. Is that what he says?
Hustle, loyalty, and respect, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, back when I was writing the book in my mind, because the main character is actually a big, tough, tall, muscle-bound guy, I thought, man, if John Cena could act, he could play the main character. But the guy can't act for the craft, so that's out. You know what I'm saying? But
By the way, our Motor City Sports guys would like you to know, shut up and watch The Godfather, Bob.
I already did. I've watched it like 6 times.
Yeah, now you have.
He's not 41 anymore. He's
come
he's
on.
Past 41.
But you beat
Hot Steel
too,
don't you?
I do.
So, did you watch Scarface? Have you watched Goodfellas?
Honestly, this is the best part. We mocked him for 6 months live on the show because he hadn't watched The Godfather. He comes in after watching and he's like, holy shit, I get all the references now. He's like, now I understand The Sopranos. Yeah. Now I understand Scarface. I get it.
The Sopranos are so watered down and turned into a soap opera. First season, it's too bad they didn't have writers like me. Like, the first couple seasons were good. Then they became a soap opera. The season became watered down, a cliche. And of course, people, like, tuned in because they, like, hooked on the characters and they're following. But, you know.
Although I do love the story because the very first episode, he's wearing shorts. And Gandolfini said he got a phone call from a mobster in Jersey.
To cover up your leg,
and
man.
Said, so help me God, don't you ever wear shorts.
Yeah,
nobody
yeah,
nobody wears shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, all right. And you never see him in shorts through the rest of the season.
Yeah.
See, I'm in Ray Donovan right now, which is about the closest thing to a mob movie going on.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, they're actually.
A mob series.
Well, Mob City. Well, Scorsese's got The Irishman coming out. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yes.
$100 million Netflix.
You're talking about the Cleveland mob boss, the one that made the movie, the Irishman?
No, the new Netflix series.
No,
that's got
no,
everybody.
But there was a movie.
It's not
about
a series.
Cleveland.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
It, Netflix bought out the rights to make the movie. And it's Scorsese's directing it, Pesci, De Niro, Pacino, everybody's in it. Although the story is so like fictionalized compared to the real story,
yeah.
But it's funny because a friend of mine is consulting Robert De Niro
The original Irishman was filmed here, so like I had like three buddies that had like extra roles in it.
Well, this is actually yeah. Well, this is a different play about killing Jimmy Hoffa, so De Niro plays the hitman of the Irishman, kills Hoffa. And he actually, this is a true story. This is crazy as hell. Because when I was in New York, I was promoting my book with a guy named Larry Mazza. He's a famous hitman from the Colombo crime family. Him and I split a booth at BookCon. Are you familiar with BookCon? Well, it was Javits Center. So, anyway, we were at the booth. This is true, unbelievable. So he gets called by Robert De Niro, and he says, "Listen, me and Mark."
I'm sorry. We live in a world where a guy. A year out of prison from being a mobster is getting a booth at a con. You know, let's just take a moment.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I could show you the pictures where I was surrounded by fans. It was unbelievable. Going at con, right?
Right.
In the Javits Center, New York City. In the
nice.
Javits. So,
hey, Chewbacca mom had a booth at a con next to John Cusack. Anything?
Well, that was funny too, because a lot of these crazy books that come out with these sci-fi books and all these fantasy books, they have like characters. Running around.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing an interview just like this with Offensive Talk Radio at my booth. And the other guy's like, "What the hell do you keep looking over?" And he's like, "There's a guy dressed like Elvis right there. And there's a freaking like nymph over there. And what the hell's going on here?" We're at a book con.
There's a tree walking around saying right, Groot.
That's funny, girl. But no. Let me get back to you. So he gets a call from De Niro and says, Marty and I want to have lunch with you right now at Marty's apartment. Scorsese.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's like, no, pack it up, get out. I said, here's my book. Give it to Marty.
Meep, meep.
Right, that quick. I'm out. I literally said, I take my book, but I was like, you know what? That's very, upfront. You just can't walk in. Hey, man, thanks. And by the way, my buddy's book, awesome. But actually, they're making a series out of his life and perhaps a show. But they asked him, so when we're done with this project, we're working on other stuff. Do you have anything yet? And he said, yeah, my buddy from Detroit, he's got a really good mafia book out there called The Next Godfather. And, so he says, give me the book before we're done producing, before we're done filming, so I can hand it to these guys. And so.
Okay.
Yeah, man, here you go. Man. And speaking of that, by the way, I got to say one other thing. I have a friend named Ciro DiPaggio. This guy has created.
He's slightly Italian.
Slightly, yeah. He's created this web series on the internet called Mob King. Now, this guy started from scratch, from nothing. He did 19 years in prison. He was involved in Miami organized crime. He did his time, got out. This guy has started from scratch, from nothing, from zero, and put together this amazing production of the series called Mob King Web Series. And it's going to get picked up by Netflix or HBO, HBO or somebody or something, because it's that good. The acting is amazing. The production is amazing. Everything is just top notch. So somebody's going to swoop in and grab him up.
Cool.
So I had to give him a shout out because the guy is really just hardest work. I call him the hardest working man in the show, but he's on Facebook. He's everywhere. He's got my 10 twins.
I think that's the key to success. We just, like, one, don't pay taxes. Two, go to prison. Three, be successful. Like,
right,
I think
right,
that's
yeah. Well, yeah,
we have time for that.
I don't think so.
We're kind of older. We're older now.
Yeah, we're
10 years ago, maybe. Yeah.
I don't think you guys will do well in prison. Something tells me.
No, not so much.
You know us very well.
Program 3-step.
Right there, it is. Yeah.
I call you Tupac. I paid Tupacs for your ass.
Right. Yeah, you guys will definitely be doing laundry.
Cry like a baby every night, all night.
Right. This is not happening. This is not happening.
Cry on a pizza.
Listen, if you guys don't make me a freaking computer in here, we're going to have problems. Boy, you know what I'm saying?
So let's talk about that. This is a tech show. So 13 years, you come out. And what like
– well, it's like, you know, we always joke, you know, Kevin Mitnick, you know, the whole War Games thing. He goes to jail. Like, he had never even seen Windows 95 when he went in. And then he gets out and dropped into, you know, the internet age.
Right.
So
my last
what was that like?
Before I went to prison, I had a flip Nextel Motorola phone. I came out.
It took four presses to make a tea.
Oh, man, I wanted to kill myself all the time. Yeah, it took four presses. I wanted to kill that thing every time. But so I get out, and the day that I have been out 45 minutes, they give me a bag of presents when I get out, and I got this iPhone in there. This is actually a funny story. I told him about
horrible friends. They gave you an iPhone. Android.
Here we go. There's always some kind of ball buster in the room. You know what I'm saying?
There is.
They actually gave me, so I took this bag, I opened it up, and in the bag was a hat, Detroit hat. Well, the directions for my phone were in the hat. Now, keep in mind, I've been locked up a long time.
Right.
And it says, swipe to the left to turn on, inside the hat. I said, now they're all sitting around the table.
What is this, Demolition Man? I got to turn on my hat?
Exactly what I'm thinking. I said, geez, oh, peace, man, hats have come a long ways. In it. I said, swipe. They heard me mumble. Swipe to the left. And like, I'm looking at So I'm thinking in my mind, like, I swipe to the left. I put it on my head. It goes, and it just sucks. Perfect fit.
It's the Back to the Future 2 coat. And just
right. I'm like, but they all start cracking up. They're like, this is the direction to your iPhone. And it, like in the beginning, I was like freaked out by the whole thing. And now I swear I could move a satellite with my iPhone.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm good like that. I mean, I'm good. I mean, I did all my designs for my clothing line using my iPhone.
Nice.
I have all the designs and all my marketing for my, you know, just about everything, my book and my clothing line, I do it all. Although I have to shout out to my wife, who is the master behind everything, my website and everything, editing, marketing, proofing my book. She is the master behind me, because I'm just basically an idiot without her, let's face it.
Aren't we all?
I mean, I'm just kind of a babbling. I tell people all the time, I'm not a functioning adult. I'm Italian, and like I was telling you, the lady out there, I mean, without a woman, most Italian men are pretty much non-functioning adults, but just big, giant man children, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't do nothing.
I don't know that that's limited to Italians.
Right.
That's a cross-culture thing.
I just for sure know, you know what I'm saying? I can't do nothing without her. And
all right, so hey, speaking of website, where do we find out more?
Right now the website just today just went live thanks to my amazing wife. Gunner Detroit. So at Gunner Detroit, you can find everything.
Okay,
I got there is a YouTube, my YouTube channel. You can find the Arthing Apparel link there. The Lim Bloom Chronicles, which I write for the National Crime Syndicate, which are very popular. You should check them out. And then also the King Chronicles, which were just released today, which are based on characters from the book, my novels. And
little mini teaser stories.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And everybody's already loving them and wanting more. And look at this guy's got them pulled up, man. You're quick, man. Jeez. And
That's why we keep them around.
And then the stuff about me, and basically that's it. So Gunner Detroit, check anything you want out. And yeah, that's one of my, he's reading one of them right there. Jeez, you'll be speed reader? This guy's quick. He's blasting through them. But, yeah, so that's it, man. He's Gunner Detroit, and make sure – the clothing line is very popular. New coat. Make sure you check it out.
Our thing, yeah.
Our thing apparel, and everybody's loving it. We sell clothes. I've had orders in for as far as London and Spain and Italy, and even some guy from Guam is like, how do I get them? So our thing, by the way, I got to say really quick, a lot of people don't know what our thing means, so you probably don't. Do you?
No idea.
Okay, so our thing – so the term La Cosa Nostra. Cosa Nostra – and it is what the mafia calls itself.
It doesn't exist.
Exactly. Thank you. However, if it did exist.
Hypothetically speaking, if it were.
La Cosa Nostra, if they did exist, they would call themselves La Cosa Nostra. And literally in Italian, I mean, it's our thing in English. So when I was promoting my book.
It's like Chinese food. They don't, like in China, they don't call it Chinese food. It's just food.
Right.
Oh, that's fine.
They don't call it, it's just our thing.
What do they call Brazil nuts in Brazil, though?
Nuts.
Well, so you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Is it Arthing Apparel? That's how it came about. I promote my book, and I made a hoodie with the picture of my novel in the front, and I put just Detroit Art thing on the back and posted it online. And everyone's like, I want one of those. And so we just started a clothing line, and now we're going to have a men's toiletries line. I'm looking at tennis shoes, sunglasses. We have
nice.
We have everything. We have jumpsuits, sweatsuits, jackets, T-shirts.
Of course there's going to be jumpsuits.
We got a Bambino line for kids I gave you guys.
I know. That looks awesome.
Right? And we got women's stuff. We got everything. So it's cool. And anybody who wants then, just go to ourthingapparel.com or just go to Gunner Detroit, and the link is right there. Bam.
It's very, very cool, man.
Thanks.
Love hearing stuff like this.
I mean, 14 months out. I mean, I've been busy. The ironic part is I spend most of my days fishing and four-wheeling because I live way up the hell north. And everybody who's a friend with me is totally sick of seeing my salmon posts because I go salmon fishing basically every day.
Is that a euphemism? Or?
No, that's really what I say. Well, it could be. But I go salmon fishing almost every day, and I just keep shoving the Facebook, my salmon. Is like, really, we're sick of your salmon, man. Stop with the salmon.
Tell them they sell salmon at the store. He doesn't ever go fishing.
What? What?
I can wake up at 5 in the morning and get salmon, or – hey, I'll wake up at noon and go to the store and get shit.
way more fun to catch, though.
Just being funny.
Way more fun to catch. If you ever caught a salmon, you know what I'm saying. It's like the gangster of fish. I'm just saying. Like, it's the mobster of fish, the salmon. They're killers. I'm telling you.
Because it always goes back to its own home turf.
Right. It always goes back to gangster somehow. Life's full circle. I was just trying to tell these guys that everybody's got a little gangster in them. These guys run a monopoly on Detroit's podcast. And they're like, well, we have gangster. I'm like, you guys monopolize Detroit podcast. That's gangster. You know what I'm saying? And you do it while you're drinking.
When people look at Bob and Dave,
they think gangster. as he digs it
straight up,
knocks down Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's gangster.
Nothing but the best.
Right.
So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the guys from UConn. Gunner, Alan Lindblom, thank you so much. Can't wait to read your book, To Be a King. Check it out on Amazon.
Check out
the Our Thing clothing line. Thank you for the stories. We could probably have you here every other week for the rest of our lives listening to the stories, but we ought to cut you off.
Oh, sure, cut me off.
We're going to be back with Morgan and Chris talking YomaCon. This is the IT and the D Show.
And we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is segment 3, episode 220 of the IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob,
that's
the sales guy.
Podcast Detroit
in Royal Oak.
You want to fight about it?
Deal with it.
Come at me, bro.
I am Bob the Sales Guy. That
we know people now.
Is Dave.
And that's gangster.
Why now? See? Got a little gangster in him.
That's Dave the Geek. Nuri the F&G is in the house. Randy, I do the Twitters. Walker's in studio. Find us online, itinthed.com. So we are hanging out with our – they were supposed to be here last week, but they were – fell deathly ill.
Dude, there was a death plague that went around.
All my friends got it.
Yeah. I told you, man. Like, dude, Monday, thank God you guys didn't come in last week because we only had one guest, and I barely made it through the hour. I was crashing hard all the way through it.
No, I mean, I was pretty sick last week. You know, it's like it actually prevented me from even going out to Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Yeah.
So if you don't know that voice, that is Morgan, and Chris is in the house. They run YomaCon every year, which this year is going to be back in Detroit after a one-year – was it a one-year hiatus?
Oh, no. It's like we've been in Detroit.
No, that was – you're thinking of the Midwest Media.
Got it. Sorry.
Nope. YomaCon has been –
same people, different
Detroit
channel.
Since 2010.
Okay.
Well, and it is. I mean, it's the largest cosplay – I want to make sure I phrase
anime.
This right. It's like cosplay/anime con in North America?
No. It's like currently YomaCon is ranked as the – 9th largest anime convention in the U.S.
Okay.
And we're one of the largest events in the entire Midwest region.
Gotcha.
So how did that start? So, like, I guess, first of all, I've always heard YomaCon, but I've never – how did you get the name, first of all? Like,
well, okay, let's – step one. YomaCon? Like YomaCon.
YomaCon.
Okay.
Japanese phonetics are funny like that.
They are.
But the history behind YomaCon actually stems back from my time in the Navy. When I was serving back over in back in 99, a buddy of mine, because we were serving over in Great Lakes, Illinois, just north of Chicago, Buddy asked if I had duty over the weekend. I'm like, no, I'm free. It's like, cool, there's an anime con going on in Chicago. It's like, what? It's like, what's that? My brother's got a room. We're going now. Okay. And I ended up over at Anime Central, and I believe it's their second year. And it was such an amazing experience. I ended up going to a few more conventions while I was still in the Navy. And the week after I got out, I ended up
going
to a show.
You know I'm dropping in the Navy right there, right? You know I'm going to do it. No. It's going to happen.
They want you for a new recruit. Yeah.
I didn't get to sail the seven seas. No, literally. It's like, yeah,
not if you were stationed just outside of Chicago. No.
Literally, I had like the most sad Navy career ever. It's like they ended up like messing up my legs early on. But all I got to see was Chicago and San Diego. And the only time I set foot on a ship is when I went to go visit a buddy of mine once. Now it's like
– didn't you get on the poop deck or anything?
So what'd you do?
It's like actually I used to be a telecommunications specialist.
Go figure.
And then they – like that was a radio man. Then they actually merged us with IT. So I was an information systems technician, which was – now it was funny because back then it was like I was very unique because I was one of the few people and it's just funny looking back at this thing. I was one of the only people at several commands that knew how to use Microsoft Office. Oh. How weird is that to just think about that?
Wow.
That was just shy of like – 20 years ago, but I mean, just the fact that I had taken, you know, these, you know, it's like I took these courses back over in high school and it ended up making me incredibly valuable over at the commands I was at. But it's like, and so I started off as, you know, an RM, radio man. Then I was, you know, it's like an IT. And at the end of it, I was an OB.
Never on a boat, though.
Nope.
On the shore.
I was a radio man on shore duty, which I will say is one of the worst things humanly possible. Where? In the Navy. It's like that was mainly when I was over in like San Diego.
At least you had nice weather.
Yeah. There's that if you like sun.
Right.
But you know, us IT guys, not so much.
IT guys.
I'm like, right.
On the room real quick.
Again, whiter than Barry Manilow, eating a spoonful of mayonnaise while listening to Barry Manilow.
Right. But it's like at the end of it, it's like, but as soon as I got out, I ended up going to an anime convention over in Columbus, Ohio. Right. This is like January of 2001. And I had such an amazing time over there that it's like I thought, you know what? This was really damn fun. I've just had the time of my life. I want to share this experience with others. And so I literally spent the next 4 years straight just, you know, building up a team. You know, it's like training up people and just planning for that first event back over at the old Troy Hilton.
Wow. No kidding. And somehow years later you've grown that into the ninth largest anime convention in the United States.
Yep. I mean currently it's like our first year we had like 1,078 attendees, which
is
breaking
huge
records.
For the first year. Jeez.
That's like especially back then when most, you know, conventions that had been popping up in the time since I first went to a con versus, you know, other cons that have popped up at the time, we were gargantuan. And now we have, you know, over 21,000 people and we're expecting upwards of 24 this year. And that's all unique. That's not turnstile. We're not talking, you know, it's like
24,000 badges.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
I was locked up with 48,000 badges.
But they weren't dressed up as furries, though.
That's right. There were no 16-year-old girls walking around in Pikachu
outfits. Some of them may have been at night after lockdown.
We never got into the whole pants sagging conversation, but yeah.
Oh, no. That would have got you some more emails. Huh?
So how did you do it? How do you grow a con that quickly? What are you doing right?
It's like a lot of it just comes down to it's like promotion. A lot of it is I am literally across the country all year round. I'm out there. I'm talking to people. And it's not just passing out flyers. I'm there actively talking to people one-on-one. I have people that, you know, are really passionate that have been able to join me. You know, it's like in recent times have been able to help me out with this. I now have an amazing crew that's helping me with the promotions because, well, they're a lot younger and very enthusiastic and –
look
like,
good as
I'm
a Pikachu.
Like, I believe I'm a slightly heavy set guy with, you know, it's like a cane and a goatee. They're a lot more approachable than I am.
I think and there's our episode title. It's all about the crew.
He's oh,
but the thing is that it's like but aside from the promotion, it all comes down to that Everyone on my team is extremely dedicated to what they do. They are, you know, working year-round to make this happen. They're extremely passionate, and we literally work to put on as big and as best of a promotion – or just of the production as we possibly can. It's – and one of the big things is we've stepped aside. You know, it's like even from year one, and it's not about what are we looking for an event. It's what are the attendees looking for, and it's always been about the attendees first. And – we go far beyond what almost any other convention on the circuit will do.
Like how?
It's just all about finding out like those extra things. Like how is that, you know, extra thing that we can do there? What is like with hotel negotiation? What can we do to, you know, it's like help soften, you know, it's like a lot of hotels are very, you know, it's like tough to deal with. And we're there to make sure that the hotels
not
understand.
That you have any experience with that at all.
No.
But especially the Rinsen, who's so big that they generally don't care about your business.
But yeah. It's also about, you know, it's like letting the attendees, you know like, hey, it's like here's the best way, you know, to work around this. Here's how you can do this thing. And the thing is we also are working with the hotels in general and getting them to understand our crowd because most of the hotels, they're more used to – an extremely corporate environment.
Right.
And now we're bringing in something that is so, so drastically different.
Yeah.
There is no other comparison. But aside from that, it also comes down to how we do our programming, all the unique programming that we're doing and are constantly adding, as well as just we have an amazing set of guests. And usually they're people that no one else really gets to see.
Yeah, from what I understand, your lineup this year is insane for the anime crew.
Oh, yeah. It's like we actually – it's like one of the giant highlights we actually have coming in this year is we have one of the directors of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure coming in all the way from Japan.
Nice.
And not only is he behind the first part of the new TV series, but he's the actual director of the original OAV from 1993.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So this – I mean let's be honest here. We go to Comic-Con. We talk about fandom. This the layers of the onion of fandom peel back way deep.
Well, I mean, let's talk Reality 101. So we went to Yomacon 2 years ago.
Yep.
The memory that immediately jumps out to my head is us getting ushered over to John St. John, the voice of Duke Nukem,
right.
who surprisingly said, "Hey, I've heard of you guys. I hear you guys like to drink." Like, well. Yeah. What about it?
Us.
He reaches under his table, pulls out 2 pint glasses, proceeds to fill them half full with Patron Silver each, and said, "Here you go, boys. Oh, let's talk."
Half a glass. It wasn't a shot.
That's gangster.
That's gangster.
That's why I have a Nintendo cartridge flask autographed to Dave St. Dave from John St. John.
That's funny.
No, yeah, I was Bob St. Bob all weekend. Yeah.
No, it's like John is absolutely amazing.
Oh, he's
glad
to
have him.
So fun
actually,
to talk to.
He'll also be our master of ceremonies.
Amazing.
It's like, yeah, it's like he's an amazing guy. I'm actually looking forward to some of his newer roles that are coming out. Well, I can't talk about them because I don't know all those things yet. I just know there's stuff on the horizon.
But honestly, like that was one of the coolest things about Yomacon is that like everybody there is so approachable. Like whether it's the guests or you know just people that are walking around, it's a very open.
You didn't have mean Andrew McCarthy there,
right?
Now. When it comes to guests in general, one of the big things we're very key about is making sure that, you know, it's not just someone, you know, that is, you know, really – it's like, you know, popular of the sort. That's always, you know, nice. But it also comes down to how do they interact with the fans?
Yeah.
How do they actually – it's like are they going to be someone that, you know, the attendees are going to come away and they've just had like the most amazing experience with one of the people that they, you know, highly look up for? Or are they going to run into the guy that's going to grab up a lunchbox, sign it, and then hold it hostage?
Right.
You can think of a few people. Like,
Throw on a pair of sunglasses and say, "Here, bye."
Oh, yeah. It's like
Andrew McCarthy.
Cary Elwes.
Cary Elwes.
Rob
Well,
Schneider.
He was mad because you called him old, Bob.
No, he says, "It's my kid's favorite movie." And he looks at me like, "You're an old."
You called him old, Bob.
He is. Acknowledge it. Just, yeah, I know I'm an old man.
But no, it's really
I haven't
amazing.
Worked in 27 years. I'm old.
But no, it's really cool, like, seeing some of the people we're able to bring in. And we've been able to diversify, too. We also have people coming in, various internet personalities. And we also have some outside people coming in. We actually have Detroit native Billy West coming back again.
See, and that's who we have to get. Dude, if this weekend goes by and I don't get a bender drop, someone dies.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Like, oh, wait, no, that's John DiMaggio. That's no, John Billy DiMaggio. West is Fry.
It's like, yeah. He's Fry. He's the professor. Yeah. He's Dr. Zoidberg. So yeah, and like half the cast.
Do you feel like good news, everyone? It's the IT and the D show. Like,
exactly.
It's perfect.
Good news, everyone. Yeah, no, it's
got to Zoidberg
happen.
Voice. Why not IT and the D?
Yeah, why not IT and the D? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Why don't we go?
Yeah, no, we have to go.
We're already
we're planning
going.
On it. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Again, wife and kids out of town this weekend.
Oh.
It's, yeah. It's on.
So we'll see you there.
We'll see you there. We're press. We're press, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I know we – I guess let's – No, we'll talk about it after the show. Because I know we had kicked around doing a panel. I don't know if we're actually still doing a panel or not.
I'm in.
Podcasting for fun and profit. Well, mostly fun. Okay, exclusively fun.
Right.
Step four, profit.
But no, it's like this year we have a lot of really cool things going on there. I'm actually really looking forward to – and this is something that's going to be really fun. We're actually having a costume dance-off.
Okay.
It's like
details?
It's like I can't go into it until the announcements come out, but basically it's like you've seen, you know, it's like dance competitions before, you know, hip hop, you know, style.
Yeah,
before,
surf
but
kind of have stuff.
Have you ever actually seen anyone do it in costume? Exclusively in costume.
How about two Pikachus dancing to the death? Can we go?
No? To the death. I'm intrigued.
But
okay.
But on top of this, one of the things, and you actually may be hearing this before the rest of our it's like attendee base, but one of the cool things is for our photo shoots this year, we're actually bringing in VR photography.
Okay.
And we're actually going to be having – it's like images taken throughout the weekend, especially over at the photo shoots. And these are going to be full, like, you know, 360, you know, pictures that people will be able to see on the website.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And this is just something that we are offering.
Very cool.
I said, I didn't even know. I never even heard of VR photography.
Oh, well, you're going to get to see it soon.
Ah, cool. 360 for that. Like, that's
– What is that?
It's like there's two different, you know, versions of this. The first one is it's like – it'll actually be – it's like an image that you can go over and you'll be able to just rotate around it. So
that's
it's like
image
you can take a look at what's in front
to.
Of you. You can see everything that's 360.
But I've seen that. I've seen that. It's super cool. Oh, it's yeah.
Like,
and
then,
how the hell do they do that,
stuff
though?
Like that.
I've got a specialist, you know, coming in there. He's helping us out with a few things and – we've got some fun things in store for everyone.
Okay.
Those are one of those things that, like, blows my mind because I'm not techie like you guys. And when I see something like that, it's just like – I mean, it's like
– oh, dude, it blows our minds too.
Like,
don't
– yeah, like, so, yeah. How is that possible? It's that like, can't be done.
I mean, it's like, I'm not, you know, that much of a techie. I mean, I still can't figure out how the three seashells work.
Nice.
Are you talking about the three car? Are you talking? Oh, yeah.
Demolition Man. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you talking about. Oh, I thought you talking about three car Monty.
See, now that's gangster.
See, that's gangster. See, my mind. Oh, you talk about the three car. All right. Yeah. See, I used to hustle guys like that. Yeah.
So you guys take over the Rensen, basically.
It's
for
like
the weekend,
we have.
Right?
It's like we have the entirety of the Renaissance Center, and we are actually by far. The Marriott's, you know, largest single, you know, client.
Well,
for that hotel.
Yeah, I mean, is the hotel at capacity already?
It's like it's been, you know, filled up for a long time.
Okay.
Since. But the thing is, we are the only group in the hotel's history that has full exclusivity of there. We control all 1,300 rooms. They do not allow for transient guests.
That is
at
gangster.
All.
Wow.
On top of that, we control all of their meeting space and half of Kobo. And, of course, moving forward, once they actually have that done too, we're actually really looking forward to the expansions at the Crown Plaza downtown.
Right.
Because they actually are building right now a new ballroom that's going to have over 12,000 square feet.
I got to ask, like is this one of your bigger venues here in Detroit?
Now, it's like when it comes to hotels and the sort, nothing beats the Renaissance Center. And I do mean nothing. It is by far like the largest hotel in the Northern Hemisphere. It is 72 stories. Not including the coach, you know.
Right,
coach
insignia, or whatever it is now,
like
yeah.
Did it open up as something else?
I know.
No,
closed. The coach closed.
Coach insignia.
No, it closed.
Yeah, because they lost their lease, and they were talking about something else going in there.
But, of course, you know, it's like.
What? It's even better than a Marriott in New York?
That's like Times Square. Bigger.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, no.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think what else is in the Renaissance these days.
It's like, well, it's like nothing. In the Renaissance Center well, itself. GM. I mean, it's just another
besides that. Quarters.
But I mean,
well, there's GM.
I mean, there's actually it's like dozens of different businesses in any of the given towers.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's like now we're actually really looking forward to all of the renovations that they're doing over at the GM side of things. But more so, we're waiting for them to be finished with those renovations.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. They've been, I said they've been working on the expo part or the for 3 years, I believe.
No, actually, it's like at least for us, this is our second year where they're doing that. But we've been told that it should be done by the end of the year.
Okay.
It's like we just wish, of course, that it was done now.
I absolutely love the Volt. That's one of my favorite. Like,
no, great bar.
You feel like you're – no, you, to me, I like the bars that you feel like you're not – you're from out of town or like you're in somewhere else. That mm-hmm. one's like the quintessential. Like you don't feel like you're
like, – in Detroit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, of course. The bar I'm actually looking forward to checking out is somewhere downtown is Ready Player One.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Haven't been there yet.
Yeah, I've been really looking forward to that.
Finally open now.
Yep.
We'll see.
After. Opened last weekend, actually.
Yeah, Spielberg's supposed to be loving that.
Supposed to be open in April. Yeah. You know, it's open now. It's cool.
Right.
It's cool. You know, Barcade's going to open in like a month, but yeah,
it's cool. All good.
So are there badges still available?
Yep, there are always, you know, badges available.
Badges?
Not online, but over at the door.
Okay.
It's like it's currently – it's like it'll be 65 at the door for the weekend or anywhere between 25 and 45 for individual days. And all of our programming on Thursday night is free. And we're actually also running an attendee swap meet. Just letting people, you know, it's like set up, you know, it's like set up space over there. And they get to try to like sell off or exchange, you know, it's like a lot of the merchandise that they've accrued over the years and seeing what they can get out of it.
Damn it. Now we have to go Thursday night.
So how
– I got nothing going on. I'm fine. Thursday night.
How big – like I'm just saying like I'm amazed by this whole draw like in Michigan. I could see like – I don't know. I never saw like this town is an anime town. But well,
it's like, oh, there's a – oh, yeah.
You have to understand that when it comes to you know, Detroit, this set, it's like we built Detroit into being an anime town. The thing is like we've been competing against – plenty of other, you know, it's like cities all across the U.S. And the fact is that what we've been able to pull off, especially in Detroit, is absolutely amazing.
I know people, it's, and it don't misunderstand. This is not just a Detroit thing. People come from all over to hit this conference.
I imagine.
Well, actually, there's a good question.
Oh, okay.
I was
going to
say, so from a pre-reg standpoint, where do you have people coming in from?
It's
I'm
like,
sure you know.
Now, it's like, it's really amazing seeing where people, you know, come in through. We actually have started getting in people from Japan. We've had people come in from China, Singapore, Italy, Spain, France, Australia. We actually have a whole contingent that comes from Australia coming in from
Dude, you
Sweden.
You guys are gangster, man.
It's like just about anywhere. And they, of course, come from all over the U.S. But one of our big missions, of course, has always been promoting tourism to Detroit.
Are there anime gangsters?
Yes. Yes, there are.
Absolutely. Yakuza.
And actually, one of the best ones is played by voice actor Brian Macy, also Detroit native, and he'll be coming out as well.
Anime Ooh. Italian? Italian
no,
anime
Yakuza.
We know that's Japanese.
No, there are, it's like...
Mafiosos?
It's like, no, there's actually some really decent mafia anime out there.
We'll get you a list.
We'll show you the series Bacano. And
Facebook
I think
friend me.
Really
I
want
to
like
see
it.
That. I want to share that. I'll share those at all my Facebook pages.
You have no idea what you just started for this.
Yeah, man. Send me that stuff, man.
Who knows, man?
I might grow my following because of that. You know, anime gangsters, boom. And, you know what I'm saying? Because there may be a big following for that. And they may like my stuff. And I might like theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get a nice cosplay group coming in to the Detroit show, cosplaying from your book. Come on.
No, or they just wear what they normally wear, and that's cosplay.
Right.
Well, I was in New York.
Hey, dude, that's a phenomenal outfit. What are you talking about?
That's what I wear. That's awesome. Well, I was in New York. Ingram Brooks approached me about possibly making a comic book out of my novels. You know what I mean? I was actually really excited about it, but they never called me. I'm like, hey, what happened?
We know a few people here.
We know people.
Yeah.
You know some people?
There's a graphic novelist in that studio right there.
Yeah.
There are four others that run out of these
studios. Are they any good, though?
Yeah. They're the best in town.
And how many do we know in town?
I think all of them. Yeah.
Hook me up.
think we can make that happen.
We'll get you a list.
Create your own anime gangsters.
Right, right. Write them right out of my book, straight up out of my book.
All right, Trico, if you're out there listening, we're going to have a talk.
Anime gangster.
Ominous noise.
Dun, dun, dun.
But again, it's like this year, it's like, well, it's like we have so many, like, you know, new guests. We've had more guests this year than it's like ever before.
So, yes, I mean, it's Thursday night through Sunday.
Through Sunday night, yes.
Through Sunday night.
It's like it goes like everything starts basically around like 6 p.m. on Thursday, and it goes nonstop, 24 hours until about 6 p.m.
24
on Sunday.
Hours.
Wait, so there's, oh, yeah, there's
25 program. Hours when the clock goes back even.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. There's time shift weekend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I hated DJing. Actually, I loved it. I hated DJing that night because you got to go until 3 in the morning.
Right.
I was like, if it was a good night, I love staying. If it was a bad night, I'm like, I want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, like, okay, so what kind of programming runs in those after hours times?
It's like, well, we actually do have after hour programming as it is. But the thing is, the convention never actually ends. We have live programming. We've got videos. We have 24-hour tabletop gaming and video gaming.
It's like
and
reruns of Facts of Life at 4 in the morning.
That's right. Yeah, Bob, our panel is Saturday at 4 a.m.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, early or late, depends on how you look at it.
Right.
But, it's like, yeah, but we actually do have some adult programming in the evening. A lot of 18-up stuff that all requires physical ID. So.
And we're
so
there.
That's when your panel's going to be.
So yeah, that's when our panel should be. Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
I'll bring the octopus. And I got this.
That's right. Funny.
I got this.
But especially, it's like, and when it comes to video gaming, hands down, we have one of the best gaming rooms on the entire circuit.
You absolutely
that.
Do. I remember walking through there and just being like, "Holy, yeah, screw!"
But
Ready
it was
Player
the weird,
One.
No, it was the weird. It was the stuff you didn't find here. It was like when you watched. Lost in Translation, and they went through the arcades, and it was like the obscure Japanese stuff. It's not like you're going to see Donkey Kong like from Pampa Lanes. This was like the cool, like,
right,
like, oh my god, I've never seen this before. That's what made it cool. It was the because you can't find it.
Yeah,
you know.
Now, and on top of that, now our tabletop gaming is something. It's like it's not as well known, which is actually surprising because we pretty much have the largest gaming library outside of Gen Con.
Okay.
It's like currently we have over like 600 titles. It's like that you can just go over and check out at any time throughout the con.
Nice.
Dirt That's Chutes and Ladders, anyone?
Candyland.
Or Candyland?
Candyland
Tournament.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Is that really a game?
No.
Yeah.
The game of life, anyone?
No. Actually, it's hilarious. I even just picked up two copies of the Stranger Things Eggo Waffles game. This is actually a thing.
That's a thing?
That is
a thing. Oh my god.
Season 2, you haven't seen season 2 yet, but yeah.
No, I mean, I'm 4 deep.
You're 4 deep? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's what she said.
And that's all he was.
This guy never misses a beat. Is he like this always? He's like, yeah, unfortunately, yes.
But no, I was trying to I got nothing.
But again, it's like, you know, it's like our tabletop gaming library is absolutely huge. And again, that room also runs 24 hours.
So it's not just anime. I mean, there's it sounds like there's a little bit of something there for everybody.
Literally everyone.
Awesome. All right. So even though it's YomaCon, it is YOMACON.com.
Yes.
And tickets are still available.
Yes.
At the door.
At the door.
Can we find all the programming on the website?
Like, everything's on the website right now. We actually have a app that should be going live. It's a fully interactive schedule. You'll be able to plan out everything.
Nice.
Great system. Testing that out for this year.
Very cool.
And
but hotel your host. Hmm? It's all full.
Oh, it's like, yeah, the host hotels are long since filled.
It's unbelievable.
It's like, well, if you really want, I think they still have some stuff over at, like, the Shoreline Motel or the Roberts River Walk, but I don't think anybody else
probably
down
pass on that.
So basically, Metro Detroit is full.
You started this?
Yes.
You two guys did?
This is the genius
dude,
behind
Dude, you're
all
a freaking badass gangster, dude, bro. Actually. Badass
but
gangster.
But again, I literally could not do this without, it's like, my crew. Without
you
my gotta staff,
have a crew.
It's like,
you know what I'm saying?
But no, without my staff, this wouldn't
we
be possible.
We call that a capo de scene.
And they're literally the most, you know, fantastic people. And I'm so, so glad that I'm able to work with them.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You can't do nothing like that without a crew. You can't do nothing. Even me with what I do without a team.
You got to say, also have to say something about, you know, a group that can put up with me, you know, like all these years. So
it does come down to that at some point. All right. So, hey, so that's yomacon.com, YOUMACON.com.
And I can't wait to go.
I think I'm probably going to go Thursday. I probably am.
Let me know, I'm in. But hey, we're going to wrap things up here. This is episode 220 here at the IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank our guests, Gunnar Allen, Lindblom, for talking. This, we're going to talk about this for like weeks about.
Dude, I already know like four other shows he needs to be on, and I want to book him in here like once a month.
Yeah, do it.
Morgan and Chris, thank you for hanging out. YomaCon, we'll see you guys this weekend. I'd like to thank our hosts, Ep River and Bluehost, on behalf of
our hosts, sponsors,
sponsors,
advertisers.
They keep the lights on. They're our hosts.
Okay.
Yeah. I was gonna say they get whatever they get any title they want.
They can be whatever they want.
Exactly.
Our supreme overlords.
On behalf of Bob and Dave and Nuri and Randy,
and letters, do us a favor, drink up.
Brought to you by the letters WTNF.
Do us a favor, drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't gotta go home. You just gotta get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you next week. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan. What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Make the run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo, hold up. Time out. Time out. Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe owns the Chiefs. Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want.
Yeah. Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city.
I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about this?
Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.